Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. Antagonism between music critics and musicians is nothing new. Richard Strauss fired back at his critics by portraying them with unflattering sounds in this piece you're hearing, Ein Helden Leben. But recently, when the critic Donald Rosenberg wrote a series of negative reviews for The Plain Dealer about the Cleveland Orchestra, the organization complained to the newspaper. Rosenberg was pulled off his regular beat in 2008, and then he sued both the Cleveland Plain Dealer and the management of the Cleveland Orchestra. On Friday, a jury ruled against Rosenberg on all claims. Joining us with her views on this is Anne Majette, classical music critic of The Washington Post. Welcome, Anne. Good to speak with you.
Thanks, Elliot.
The jury dismissed all of the charges. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not altogether surprised. I'm not sure that Don even expected to win, but I think he was making a point by leading the lawsuit at all. I mean, it's certainly not the first time that this kind of thing can happen. It's difficult to prove cause and effect in a situation like this. Did the paper pull him because the orchestra exerted pressure or not? We can all name numerous examples of times when the orchestra has registered displeasure or complaint with a newspaper editorial board and not gotten any credence or not had the critic reassigned. But it's difficult to say, and I think this is what the case hinged on, that that was why they reassigned him.
What was the actual flaw in Rosenberg's case, do you think?
In the case?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's very hard to take on two large institutions with a suit that is, as I said, difficult to prove. It's very difficult. The Cleveland Orchestra certainly went and talked to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and I'm sure they said they were extremely unhappy. I know that the National Symphony Orchestra in Washington has done that in the past, and I know that Christoph Eschenbach in Philadelphia feels that he was very ill-used by one of their two full-time music critics, even though the other critic, David Patrick Stearns, was not as down on Eschenbach as Peter Dobrin was. Those are both colleagues I respect a lot, who had different viewpoints. But, of course, orchestras are very sensitive to this kind of pressure, but it's difficult to prove a case in court against them, as Don's case has just demonstrated.
Mr. Rosenberg also threw in age discrimination. Do you think that muddied the story a little bit?
Yes, I think that was a concrete charge he could throw in, but I think that in a case where the whole argument, as I saw it, was that the orchestra exercised undue pressure and the paper gave into it, age discrimination, which was levied since Don was taken off covering the Cleveland Orchestra for the paper. It's important to remember he was not fired from the Plain Dealer. He is still at the Plain Dealer, but he is not allowed to cover the Cleveland Orchestra. And a younger writer was put onto the Cleveland Orchestra beat specifically. And the Cleveland Orchestra is one of the leading orchestras in the world, and it's unfortunate not to have a really experienced critic reviewing them, not to say anything against the young critic, who can also be wonderful, but I think that's where the age discrimination element came from.
Let me ask you this. Will this have a chilling effect on other critics, and has it had any effect on you?
It hasn't had an effect on me personally, apart from the fact that I've posted on it occasionally, and my most recent blog posting at my Washington Post blog, The Classical Beat, has occasioned a lot of really impassioned discussion, partly about the role of the critic. There's always a question, if the critic is repeatedly negative or tough, what effect does that have? Is there any point in simply repeating accusations? And is that, in fact, what the critic is doing? One thing that really distresses me in discussion of this Rosenberg situation is that so much of the discussion is being put forth by people who are not intimately familiar with Don's work, based on, oh, well, I heard he was negative. He never liked Franz Welser-Most. In fact, his reviews were very nuanced. It's true that he often didn't like Welser-Most, the conductor of the Cleveland Orchestra, but when he did, particularly in concert opera, one could almost sense the relief that he liked something. It's not that critics go in wanting to dislike things. It is a critic's job to be tough and to uphold standards. And I personally maintain that's the only way you can actually be a cheerleader for classical music. I don't think you're an effective cheerleader for the art form if you are simply allowing everything a pass because it's all beautiful music and it's all lovely and they're trying so hard. The way you really advocate for the form is to say it needs to be excellent and here are the standards we need to maintain and we need to remember what excellence is. That's how you strike a blow for the art, in my opinion.
Rosenberg was specifically critical of music director Franz Welser-Most, as you say. I want to ask you if it was personal on the other side of this. This is Franz Welser-Most conducting Beethoven. Franz Welser-Most conducting Beethoven, Elliot Forrest here, and for John Schaefer on Soundcheck, talking to Anne Majette, the classical music critic of the Washington Post, talking about Donald Rosenberg, who wrote a series of negative reviews about Franz Welser-Most, and he was essentially demoted. Do you think it was personal between Rosenberg and the conductor, or certainly that's the way it was seen by the people in Cleveland?
Well, how it's seen and what it was are two different things. I mean, I know very well from my own experience that people take it very personally if you're negative, and it's very easy to sort of say you're an idiot or you have a vendetta against this person if there are things you don't like. As I said, Rosenberg was extremely fair in saying what he did like when he did like it. There's, however, an unfortunate assumption, I think, that goes on in these discussions, that a critic should come ideally to every concert as a clean slate, completely without bias, ready to be open. And it's true that you should be open to any possibility when you come to a concert, but part of the reason you're there is that you have experience, and your experience is based in part on knowledge of what you're writing about. And with any great work of art, you develop familiarity over time with that work of art or that artist. And therefore, I don't think total childlike objectivity is something that's actually desirable in a critic. Otherwise, anybody could do it. So certainly, I think that Don Rosenberg had a certain idea of how Franz Welser-Most conducted. I think he was happy, as I said, when he didn't hear that happening, to acknowledge what he found him to be good at. But is it personal? I think it's very seldom personal. I think it's very often alleged in this kind of situation that it's personal. And the conductor takes it personally, may I say. There's no question about that.
Yeah, or you can just maybe not read the reviews.
That's what I always say.
Take it out of the Welser-Most Rosenberg case for a moment. Just from a reader's standpoint, how do I know when a critic is biased or not?
Define bias. I mean, I think some of the best critics are biased. I think that if you read a newspaper regularly, you know what a critic's tastes are. Anybody who reads me a lot knows that I'm a big opera fan and that I have a bias toward opera in terms of enjoying writing about it and being very interested in writing about it. That, of course, is a pretty safe bias in terms of what we're talking about as opposed to personal animus. But I think you'll see many critics who have somebody they feel that they want to support strongly, which is another kind of bias, and few people blow the whistle on that, at least not publicly. We have all kinds of biases. Anybody who loves art has biases. And I think everybody needs to be a smart reader and evaluate what a critic is telling you. I mean, the best review, to my mind, is one where you read it and you don't agree at all with what the critic said, but you know that you would have liked the concert even though they didn't. The review can give you enough about the performance that you're not only getting the critic's opinion, but also enough about the essence of the performance to form your own opinion. And in that case, bias is not a deterrent to appreciating the review.
Anne Majette, classical music critic of the Washington Post. We're talking about Donald Rosenberg, a critic for the Plain Dealer and the Cleveland Orchestra. Anne, always good to talk to you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Take care.
You too.
The artist Morrissey taking a pot shot of his own, journalists who lie. here on Soundcheck. Still to come, the mezzo-soprano Vivica Jeannot is known for tackling tough roles on the opera stage. She'll join us to talk about her career and to perform live. And tune in this Friday as electronic music superstar Moby sits in for John Schaefer on Soundcheck. Moby will talk with filmmaker Jim Jarmusch, and we'll hear a live performance from the dance rock band Neon Indian. That's this Friday on Soundcheck.
Help me out late at night. Extreme places I had gone to never see any light.